Isata Kane Mason is the eldest of seven incredibly talented musical siblings. They've all studied at the Royal Academy of Music in London. And when Isata was studying there, she was doing so under an Elton John scholarship. She not only met Sir Elton, she got to perform with him when she was just 17 years old. She's recently released her second solo recording. It's called Summertime, and that's what you're going to hear about this week on New Classical Tracks from American Public Media. I'm Julia Macher. Well, what I want to do is start off by having you talk about your beautiful name and tell me about its connection to your mother's homeland, if you would please.
So my name is Isata, and my name comes from Sierra Leone, West Africa, which is where my mother was born and where my mother's side of the family is from. And she actually left West Africa, Sierra Leone, when she was four, but she's been back a couple of times and she wanted to give all of us a piece of the country, so we all have Sierra Leonean names.
And what does yours mean?
Mine means source of life, but it also comes from Aisha as well.
Isata, you are the oldest of seven very talented children. And I know last summer you were all the subject of a BBC documentary. They kind of wanted to get a sense of what you were doing during the pandemic lockdown. What was that experience like, and what did listeners or viewers discover about you and your siblings?
I think what they discovered is how we actually are when we're together, because the way they set it up is they kind of left the cameras in the house for 2 days and we just carried on. I mean, we did this kind of concert, but aside from that, we were just being ourselves. And I think it's quite an accurate portrayal of how we are when we're with each other and what the vibe in our house is like. And so I think that's what you can get from watching it. And the experience was really lovely because the people we worked with, we got on with them really well. And it was just so nice to be playing these concerts and to have something to do in that time.
Now, are you all living in the same place now?
No, and we weren't technically living in the same place then either, but we just came home for the 5 months of lockdown because London was a bit more of a miserable place to be, kind of in a student flat. And so we stayed with our parents for the 5 months, but we all live in London.
So it makes me wonder how you all found a quiet place to practice during that time. How did that work?
Well, it basically regressed to exactly how it was in our childhood, where there isn't a quiet place to practice and everyone practices at the same time and you just adapt to practicing with the sound of a violin next door or a piano upstairs. You just adapt to the noise.
Oh, that's funny. Well, studying at the Royal Academy of Music in London, you held an Elton John scholarship, and you not only met Sir Elton, you got to perform with him in concert when you were just 17. What did that mean to you?
I think that was just such an exciting experience. I mean, he was also very, very lovely, really charismatic person, really helped me. And I was just really lucky. I played to him and I played with him. And also I'd never really been to a pop concert, and to kind of be on stage in that setting is so different from what I'm used to and really brought me into a different world.
What was that experience like then?
Just very exciting, and everything was new, and I felt very relaxed on stage because he made the whole experience just very relaxing.
Oh my gosh, I can't imagine how it was probably to your advantage not to have been a pop music fan, right? Because otherwise you might have been more nervous.
No, I love lots of pop music, actually. I think it's just I didn't feel the same level of pressure because it's not my world.
Let's talk about your second recording. It's titled Summertime, and it highlights some of your favorite American classical composers, and it also illustrates the diversity of music in America in the 20th century.
Yes, so when I had the idea to come up with a theme of American music, I thought, well, that's a very broad theme, a broad topic, and there's so much diversity in that topic. And so I just started listening around. I chose composers that I liked. I went from Barber to Amy Beach to Coleridge Taylor to Gershwin and just kind of wanted to represent as many corners as I possibly could. And I think America as a country is so diverse and people have come from many different corners, and to be American is kind of like being British in the sense that it's not a race, it's loads of different races that have culturally been living there, either they've moved there or they've grown up there, and there is that diversity within the title of being American, and I think that's what I wanted to show on the album.
Samuel Barber's piano sonata is at the heart of this recording. What about this piece made you fall in love with it?
I think it's the fact that it's so dramatic in a shameless way. So he doesn't hold back from the drama and he's not afraid to go with it in the music and really stretch you pianistically, and you're forced to give your all. And I love that because it's kind of like I release all my boundaries when I'm playing it and just let go.
Is there a section in this sonata that you always really get excited about playing?
Yeah, I think probably there's a section in the first movement after the development section when it comes back to the beginning tune, but in a more dramatic, crazy way. Excited when I get to that section.
This piece received its premiere in 1949. It was performed by Vladimir Horowitz, who's a great musical influence for you. What is it about Horowitz that inspires you?
I think it's the fact that he has so much freedom when he plays, and he's not afraid to take what he sees on the score and thoroughly make it his own and not feel bound by so many rules. I mean, he's very accurate as well and goes into the detail, but he's not afraid to really put around the tempo and the timing and just really make the music his own, which I think many people are afraid to do, and that's something he does as much as he wants.
How do you make the music your own?
Well, I listen to lots of recordings because I think it's important to know what you like and important to learn from people. And so I don't stop learning and having lessons and getting advice from people. But the way I make it my own, beyond all of that learning, is I then just use my instinct. Because once I've done the learning and the detail, I feel that I can trust myself and I just let my instincts guide me.
There's another piece by Barber on this recording, his Nocturne. It's really lovely, kind of dreamy, very different.
Yeah, so the Nocturne, I think, complements the sonata well, but it's definitely, we see a different side of Barber. And I think I discovered that piece while I was lying in bed, actually. And I remember being taken up with the kind of dreamy quality of it. And I think the harmony is really interesting. It kind of reminds me of the ocean on a peaceful day. And that's why I love it.
Very comforting. You include Earl Wilde's dazzling arrangements of the music of Gershwin. Talk about what we hear and why you love his arrangements so much.
They're so much fun in different ways. So the I Got Rhythm is just crazy and sparkly and fizzy and just so exciting, and I just love what he did with the theme, and I just thought I'd love to play this. And then Summertime, I just think is so jazzy in the sense that it feels so improvised. as someone who doesn't improvise or play jazz, it's lovely to have what feels like a foot in that world.
What does that look like on the page when it sounds improvised?
It's just lots of small notes, lots of runs up and down the piano, lots of arpeggios, lots of different voices layered on top of each other at the same time, and you just work your way through that.
Why did you want to include Amy Beach's impressionistic miniature of 1925 called By the Still Waters?
I think because when I heard it, I thought that it was harmonically really beautiful and such a meditative piece. And I think it's the calmest point on the album, and there's so much excitement and this and that going on. I thought it's nice to have something where you can just sit back and just relax and enjoy the harmonies that are there.
Oh, and it's also got that watery vibe to it, like the barber, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that also really connects them.
Following Amy Beach is a piece by Erin Copeland that is very much in contrast to her piece. It's called The Cat and the Mouse. I have to say, I am a little concerned about the mouse in this piece. I mean, might not be having a positive end result there. What do you enjoy most about playing this piece?
Well, actually, the story that I think about this piece is it is a intense chase between a cat and a mouse. And it ends very dramatically with the seeming death of the mouse. And a kind of funeral march. So you think the mouse is dead, but then in the last couple of bars, we hear this quiet riff of the mouse kind of limping away. So it's actually alive after all. So actually, the mouse survived.
And he was playing dead. Oh, I've seen them do that before.
So he's a very clever mouse.
The album includes a world premiere recording of Samuel Coleridge Taylor's Impromptu No. 2 in B minor. What is this piece about?
Well, I'm not sure what the piece is about, but for me it feels very much like a kind of lullaby. And it feels very childlike in its simplicity, but it also has a sadness to it, but a very kind of innocent, open sadness. And so it's not that I necessarily feel that it's about anything, but it takes me back to, it just brings up these kinds of images.
His heritage mirrors your own a little bit. Does that impact the way that you perceive this composer in any way?
Definitely. I mean, I was definitely drawn to his music first, but then when I found out that he was from Sierra Leone, same as where my mother's from, I definitely felt a stronger connection with him as a composer.
In creating this recording, your second solo release, what was most memorable for you?
I would say the fact that I recorded it during such crazy times. You know, I recorded it oftentimes basically in lockdown. Nothing else was happening, nothing else was going on. The world was still. I think that's a feeling that you can't forget. And when I remember recording this album, I'll remember this time.
I'm curious what you might have discovered about yourself during the lockdown this past year. Was there anything that surprised you that you learned about yourself?
Yeah, I think I discovered that I'm actually a people person, which makes sense because I grew up in such a big family. But the last couple of years, I was kind of going through a not very sociable phase. I prefer to be practicing or sleeping or reading. And I just don't think I was that sociable, and I kind of felt that I was more introverted and preferred alone time. And the pandemic is, I mean, maybe I'm both of those things, and maybe we all are to a certain degree, but the pandemic has made me really feel how much I love connecting with people and performing for audiences and meeting people. And I just feel like now I don't want to miss anything social. So I think perhaps I'm both of those things. And if you get starved of one, you crave the other. But I definitely feel much more in the other side of myself now.
A new recording called Summertime, featuring pianist Aiseta Kane Mason. If you're enjoying New Classical Tracks, the best thing that you can do for the show is to tell somebody else about it, help spread the word, and take a moment to rate and review us on your podcasting app. And since you're clearly a music fan, let me tell you about another podcast you might enjoy, the Piano Puzzler Podcast with host Fred Child. He invites Bruce Adolf to join him in the studio every week, and Bruce plays a brilliant musical mind game. Bruce takes a familiar tune and disguises it in the style of a classical composer, and then a contestant calls in to try to solve the riddle. It's the Piano Puzzler Podcast, and you can get it wherever you get your podcasts. This podcast is New Classical Tracks from American Public Media, with thanks to our producer, Valerie Kaler. I'm Julie Amacher.